Today's episode of the City Smack Podcast is brought to you by Morton. I think some of you have heard of the new drink that's making waves in the running industry. Morton is the world's most carbohydrate-rich sports drink, and it's being used by most of the top marathoners in the world. Eliud Kipchoge used it in Breaking 2. Wilson Kipsang used it in Tokyo, where he set the course record. Galen Rupp used it in Chicago, where he just won. Every major marathon winner since September 2016 has been drinking Morton while on the go. Personally, I've been testing it out since May, and I think it played a big role in helping me get a big personal best at the Berlin Marathon in September. I'm going to be using it again in the New York City Marathon this weekend. And there's two types of drink mixes that I've been playing around with. One that serves 80 grams of carbs, and another that serves 40 grams. I use the 80 for my long run, 40 for some shorter or faster stuff. They're aimed to give you that energy boost for when the going gets tough during the races. And our listeners can try it now. It's on sale in the EU and in the US. All you got to do is visit Morton.com. That's M-A-U-R-T-E-N.com. And our listeners can get 20% off their next order. All you got to do is use a coupon code CMP20. That's CMP20. And you get 20% off your next order. It works for Eliud Kipchoge. It worked for me. I think you should see for yourself. Visit Morton.com today. My guest for today's show is four-time U.S. Olympian and last year's third-place finisher at the New York City Marathon, Abdi Abdurrahman. And this is quite the interview. I really enjoyed it. I think you will too. So let's start the show. All right, so we're joined now on the City Smack Podcast by four-time Olympian, 40-year-old Abdi Abdurrahman. So, Abdi, you're getting ready for New York, just a couple of days away. How's training been going? And I guess, is this it for you? I mean, you're 40 years old. Come on, like, how long can you keep going?
You know, first and foremost, thanks for having me, Chris. You know, training has been going. Actually, I couldn't ask a better build-up than New York. You know, just I had many build-up, and this wasn't a different. But, you know, it was a great build-up, injury-free, feeling healthy. I've done some great workouts, so, and I'm just excited to be back in New York City Marathon. And, you know, an age just is a number for me. You know, I enjoy running. Passion of mine, even if I'm retired, I will keep running. So running will be always part of me. So, and, you know, just I have no idea what the plan is for the next few years, but I'm feeling better than ever, you know, just feeling great, man. I'm just, maybe I will go for 2020. Never know.
That's crazy. So, like, is it weird for you to see someone like Meb, who you've, you know, raced countless times in your career, finally retire, you know, someone like Bernard Lagat has moved on to the roads, and you have just, you're kind of seeing like bits and pieces of all these people just starting to drift off and go on with the rest of their lives. Is it weird for you to just keep going and seeing, you know, just having to challenge against these new young kids? And it just seems like every year there's like college kids that are coming out and they're supposed to be good, yet you're still hanging on, and it doesn't seem like you're bothered at all by more competition.
You know, running is a competition, man. And if you love competition and you strive for greatness and you want to do better, there's no better place to find that than in the road racing circuit. And I love that, you know, just especially the past couple of years, I've been healthy, the thing's been going well. I know I haven't done many road races, but that's the reason. I just want to limit my racing. You know, I just want to pick my races, the one I'm going to go do well. And, you know, just at the same time, I don't like going to race where they run time trials. I want to compete. You know, I don't go to races to run a time, say, oh, my goal is to run 2:12 or 2:13, you know. I want to go to a race to compete, to finish at the podium. That's the main goal, you know. And I wish all the young guys have learned that philosophy that me, I use that. Meb used it, Galen used it, some of the American great women used it. They don't just run time trials, they compete to finish as the highest as they can finish. And that's what I'm still doing, and I love doing it, and I enjoy it. And many of my peers enjoyed, some of them moved on. But, you know, I still have some good friends who are running. You know, Shalene is still running. You know, Bernard still running. You know, it's great, you know. And Neb, I know he's going to retire, but he always be around. He always gets to see him. And I won't be that far behind him anyway. It's not like I'm planning running next 10 or 5 years anyway, so.
And so you ran 2:12:45 in Boston. How did you feel walking away from that performance? Because I guess it was your first marathon after turning 40. You just missed Meb's Masters record. So, I mean, you said you don't like to chase times or anything like that. And if it happens on Sunday, is that, you know, a secondary goal for this weekend? You know, maybe it's finish on the podium again, win or finish on the podium, and then after that, maybe get that record. What's your thinking for this weekend?
To be honest, I'm not gonna predict any time or like 2:12:45. You know, it is a great time, and one thing I learned to my career is like when you chase time or when you think about it or when it's the back of your head, you always never get it. The best thing to do in running is just go out there and compete with the other athletes who are running the race. And that's going to be my main goal on Sunday. I'm not worried about a Masters marathon. I don't even feel like I'm a master, to be honest. I know I'm 40, and it is what it is. But at the end of the day, I am not running against other Masters. I'm running against elite athletes, and I'm an elite athlete. I train like elite. And I don't see any different from me or Wilson Kipsang, Kim Roro, you know, Tedese or Gabriel Salas. You know, I know all those guys, and I'm going to run against those guys, and that's my main goal. Whoever want to win the race, I'm going to be with them, and I'm in it to win it.
Before Boston, you went to Ethiopia to train for most of your training. This time around, did you stick around Flagstaff for most of the training for New York?
Yep, I stay. You know, I stayed the whole time in Flagstaff since Boston. You know, I have my house in Tucson, and my girlfriend, she's in Flagstaff, and we have place in Flagstaff too. So we were in between Flagstaff and Tucson. So but most of my training I did in Flagstaff. I go to Tucson for a week or two to see my coach, and so he can see me how's my training going and how's everything's going on. I remember I was back in Tucson last week, and I did a track workout, which my coach always did, and he said, "Abdi, you look better than ever." He said, "You remind me when you were 21 years old at the U of S."
You mentioned how age is just a number for you. What's the youngest that anyone's ever told you you look like?
I've got it like at 30s. I've got it 28. I've gotten like 35, you know, just like this guy. I usually never keep a track, but I got in the early 30s, at least 29. I got that all the time.
That's got to feel good.
It feels good, hey. I'm not that just I walk away smiling, so I say, yeah, thank you.
when I came out to Flagstaff back in August, we saw each other really briefly, and I hung out with Faith Lalisa for a little bit. So he mentioned that he was doing a bunch of workouts with you. How did that work out? I mean, just like you having an Olympic silver medalist, you've got 4 years of experience. Was that kind of just a match that happened naturally? And how often were you guys working together?
You know, me and Lalisa, we trained a lot this past summer, him getting ready for Chicago. And I know the guy, I know Lalisa, he was way better than he showed in Chicago. And I kind of feel bad for him because of the work he put into it and everything. And you know, on the marathon, that's the one thing. Marathon, you have to be 100% healthy going in. You cannot have like a little pain here and there, especially when you have like what he had, hamstring problem, which is he'd been suffering the past few races. And I see him suffer those painful through the workout, but he just fight through. So I kind of feel bad for him. But, you know, it's been amazing working out with him. You know, just it was a blessing from God, you know, just having him and someone he's you know, capable, the way he's capable of doing it, you know, his endurance, everything, you know, I benefited a lot actually just being able to train with him past few months, you know. And I'm so thankful, you know. Just it's just one of those opportunities, just it's just something you dream about and you get it, you know. It was amazing.
How wild is it for you to think that he's, I forget how old he is exactly, but he already has 20 marathons under his belt. You, on the other hand, you're like more selective. You're like, all right, I'll do one or two a year, focus everything on that. He runs, a couple half marathons and everything like that. But he is just, a gritty road racer. He's done 20. The other thing that really stood out to me was when he, and I asked him like, oh, it's like, what are you using to like fuel up during your race and everything like that? And he just says water. That's all he drinks is water. And I think someone told me that you told him, it'd be good to drink Gatorade or something. But how different of a marathoner is, because you've gone to Ethiopia and you've seen the way these guys train firsthand. You've also been in the United States. You've trained with, fellow Americans and everything like that. How different is that? And like, is he, I guess, a little bit, behind on some of the technological advances that are happening?
I don't think he's behind. To be honest, the human body is all the difference. To be honest, on marathon, just like the way those guys eat and what they do in general, their body doesn't have that much energy to sustain that long period of time. It's just the lifestyle they grew up for them. It's just like, like a lot of American people, they run depletion. They say, oh, we're running like a 27-mile depletion run. Those guys run depletion run every single day. In Ethiopia, they run depletion every day. When they wake up in the morning, they will have their bunna, coffee, or a little bit of, just something, and they just go out for like a 30, 40K run, hard run, and their body gets used to it most of the time. And for them, when they come to this side of the world, the Western country, it's always good to have that little, the help, the Gatorade, all the drinks. But 90% of the African, I know they don't drink, like they don't use any energy drink or anything. It's just like, that's just the way they train, and that's how their body responds, just like they don't, and it's also how they eat, you see those guys eating, the food they eat, the amount of food they eat is just amazing.
What's this Madane group you're tagging on Instagram all the time?
Madane group, that's something we're working on, and me and Mo and one of my friends, it's something that coming hopefully soon. It's just, we'll see. You just have to wait, man.
So this is just like you guys, the guys who were all together in Ethiopia, just kind of a hashtag you guys are throwing around right now?
It's not a hashtag. It's a group, actually. It's going to be a marathon group, and, and the founder is going to be Mo and me and Bashir Abdi, and just so, And to be honest, the one thing we realized as three friends, and I know Mo since he was, I think, 12, 15 years old. So, and when we happen to come from the same village. Our family knows each other back home. They're good friends, and just, and we have brothers and sisters who are back home, and they told us that the talent that we can find in Somalia, because we're from Somalia. I'm from the same. We're from the same region, to be honest, all the runners in Somalia, because, that's the one thing. In Ethiopia, you can tell all the runners are from the same region in Ethiopia. And Kenya is the same way. And the Somalia is the same way. And only we started because we just have the opportunity, because there's so much talent in Somalia that's never been tapped. And that's what we're trying to do. Hopefully in the future, we're trying to produce the world in like the Somalian running. So just, and I know we have the talent, we have some great marathoners, so hopefully we'll find them.
So we'll stick on Mo for just one second. That was the big news of the week. Mo is going back to London to train there. I guess like, what are your thoughts? I mean, just seeing, having worked with him in Ethiopia, what's next for him, I guess, with the marathon? How successful can you see him being there? I guess now, no longer with Alberto, but he'd still be working with someone who's had some success in the marathon for sure.
I think he's going to be successful, to be honest. It might take him like one or two tries. You just never know. He already ran a marathon. He has run 208 without him putting all the effort like all the effort that you need a marathon build up, just, you know, coming from track and then just having like a 2-3 month build up and did marathon and run at 2:08 where he went out like almost 62 something. I think he's gonna be successful. But at the same time, you just never know in marathon, man. Just, I'm not gonna say he's gonna go out there and run 2:03, 2:04. I know he's gonna be successful, but at the same time, him moving to back to London, I think it's a choice, you know. People do make a sacrifice in their life, and Mo did make a sacrifice, you know, for him coming to US, getting like trying to build up his career, find the right coach, the right atmosphere for training, and you know, he has accomplished every runner's dream, you know, whatever you could ever want in running, fame, gold medal, you know, just some records are meant to be broken, but at the same time, no one can take it away from you, medal. And, you know, his wife, Tanya, I know Tanya really well, and she's the motor behind Mo, you know, she, you know, without Tanya, I don't think Mo would have done what he's done because of the family, you know, he have four kids, for her staying the house 3-6 months while he's away, you know, it was amazing. And I think it's just the time for them to go back to their normal life and for her to be next to her family and, you know, and for him just to pursue the next step of his career, which is the marathon, and he can train in Kenya, Ethiopia, or in London. So I think it's a great move for him.
I feel like people have been asking you this question since, like, 2013, and you've been getting up there in age, but what's left for you in your career, and what do you want to accomplish? Is it 5 Olympics? Because that just sounds like a really cool number.
And, you know, to be honest, like, whenever I hear 5 numbers, that I get so disappointed, because one thing I knew in 2016, I wasn't going to be in the podium regardless of what. My second or third place, I was going to be in the podium. I don't know who was going to stay home, but my goals wasn't going to be me. But unfortunately, I didn't get to the starting lineup, and that was my dream. Now for 5th Olympics, I don't know if it's possible, but you know what? You just never know. I'm taking one time out of year right now. And I don't know, you know, the American distance, American marathon is looking good. And, you know, I might be 40 years old, but I'm up there, you know, just Galen is the star now. And there's a lot of guys who are behind him, and I'm one of them. So I'm not going to feed myself and say I'm done. You know, hey, you just never know. Next year will be 2018. And then 2019 is the trials. You just never know. Don't be surprised. You know, I might break a lot of people's hearts.
Because one thing that you and I have talked about in the past was that you weren't really, and you still haven't, you mentioned it earlier, you weren't really ever motivated at this point in the marathon to chase, you know, a really fast time. Your PR is still, what is it? It's 2:08 from Chicago in 2006, so that's over 10 years old now. At this point,
yeah.
I know Dathan is still talking about, you know, it'd be nice to PR, and he's going to still keep going, and that would mean, you know, running faster, you know, something 2:07. For you, I mean, are you okay with just keeping running, you know, 2:12s, 2:10s, if it just means getting up there in the standings, at least for at races, you know, if it's 5th, 4th, 3rd, maybe even a win? Like, are you okay with, you know, the times being 2:10, 2:12?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, time is nothing to be on. Time is, for me, it's like, it just shows that you can run. But at the same time, I will take over podium time any day. I can finish, I can run 2:06 and finish 10th place. No one will ever remember me. So if I can run 2:12 and get to the podium, hey, you're the podium finisher and they will invite you next year. But if you, like, if you 2:06, 2:07 and you 12th, 13th place, that's not fun. I want to be at the front of competing, you know, just like, no one will ever notice you in the tag of the group. You know, I have run some great times in my life. You know, just when I've run 27, 13, I have run like a 13, 11. You know, I have run 16 and a half marathon. You know, just time is just like, I like titles. I just, it just is amazing. I would take any New York city champion, any world record or any like, or any other, like, we, like, you know, fast time, 2:03. I'd rather run 2:10 than run 2:03 and finish 5th or 6th and run 2:10, win New York City Marathon. I'll take 2:10 and win New York City Marathon. 2:03 is nothing, like, just, you can run, but I like the win.
Okay, so you just like disregarded one of the questions I was going to ask you, but I'm still curious. PR in the mile. You've only run the mile like in two years, it says here. I'm looking at your bio. 2002, 2003. You ran 4:06 in 2002 in Des Moines, and then 4:08 in 2003 again in Des Moines. I'm guessing that was Drake Relays. The four-minute barrier, something that, you know, Matt has never done. Galen's done it a bunch of times, but he's, you know, he's a freak. You, 4-minute mile, what do you think of it? Like, why is it something that in your head from back in the day you were like, you know, it would have been nice, but it doesn't really mean too much to me?
You know, like, I don't know, to be honest, like, my coach would create this thing in my mind when I was at the U.S. Like, okay, well, okay, when I was at Pima, when I started running in Pima, I ran the 4x4, by the way. I don't know if you have that. I'm glad you didn't find it. You know, when I was in Pima, I ran like 3:45 for 1500 at the NJCAA Championship. Yeah, so I used to think I was a 1500 meter runner until I get to the U of A. And then the coach put me, a couple of times, he put me at the drag relay, the mile. When I was in college, I ran 4:01 actually in the DMR. But the open mile I run as a professional, I run 4:08, and I just ran it for fun. I was just in it, and the winner, I was running with Seneca Lassiter and Bernard Lagarde, and I just ran the race because they were my friends, they were my training partner at that time, and they were running the mile. They said, "Why don't you run the mile?" And I ran the mile, and I remember I was in the race until the last 150 meter. You know, but I would love to run. You know, that was a dream of mine, to run like a sub 4-minute mile, but you know, it's fast. You just never know. When I turn 40, 45 years old, I might go for sub 4 minute to be the first 45 year old to run sub 45. So,
what would you consider? Because you've got so many races under your belt, and this is something that I feel like I should ask more runners that are veterans like you. What's the best race you've ever run? Like, it doesn't have to be one that, maybe it's one that you won, or, you know, you've had a 7th place finish at the World Championships in 2007. What do you think is your best race where you walked away and you're like, that was awesome?
I think it has to be my best race that I will always remember. It has to be 2007 New York City Half Marathon.
Why was that?
When I finished 2nd to Haile Gebrselassie, I remember that because I was more a track runner, and then I was running the road, but not often. I was just running once in a while, I'll run the road. But that day I came and I won the US 10K Championships in Indiana, and I came to run the New York Half Marathon. Me, Haile Gebrselassie, and the Robert Chariot, who was a 3-time Boston champion and Chicago Marathon champion, and he was this great athlete. And there's a lot of other great athletes who have run like a 204, 205, you know, 58. And the race after 7K, it was only 3 people left the race. It was me, Haile Gebrselassie, and Robert Chariot. And I remember I threw down the biggest surge ever, and I dropped Robert Chariot, and the race was between me and Haile. And Haile was just sitting on me, and I said, "Let's go, Haile." And I just say something to him, and I remember that was 9-mile mark. And he looked at me, and he just took off and never looked back again. And that's one of the best races I ran in my life, and I finished 2nd at 60. But it's something I remember, and I say, why did I say something to Haile? And I'll just let him sit there and wait, see how far he will go with me.
Yeah, because he beat you by over a minute. He ran 59:24, and you ran 60:29.
Yeah. And it was like the last 3 miles.
So you were by yourself for the last 3?
Yep, I was by myself, yes.
What about the track? What would you say is your best track race?
My best track race, I have to be my first Olympics in 2000. 2000... in Sydney Olympics, the 10,000 meter. I remember we have to, a lot of people, I don't know if they remember, they might be too young, all these guys, so I don't know if they remember this, but the first I remember, to make to the finals in 10,000 meter, you have to run at prelims, and I remember I ran the prelims at 27:52, and then come back 3 days later, run 28:40, no, 27:40.
Yeah, so what I'm seeing here, heats, you ran 28:09, seventh,
yeah.
And then
in the
final, you ran 27:46 for 10th.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how did you recover that quick?
I have no idea. Maybe I was young, man. And I remember that race, and only the reason I remember that race because I was doing so well. I could have finished that race seventh, anywhere between seventh and tenth. But what happened was I was watching the big screen, Haile and Targat kicked the, when they start kicking the stadium, whole stadium went crazy. And the big screen was, I was at the 300 meter mark, and I started, and the screen was right in front of me, and I was watching the screen, and then, like, the guy from Great Britain, Karl Kaska, and the guy from Burundi, and the Japanese guy, they passed me at that turn. I didn't see the battle because I was busy of watching the race. And I remember my coach getting mad at me.
Yeah, I'm looking at the results right now, and it's, you only had, let's see, they were only a couple seconds ahead of you, less than 10 seconds, I think.
Yeah, I was watching the race because he was doing.
Well, you beat Mev in that race.
Oh yeah, I remember definitely. You know, me and like, we have our big battles back in the days. So we beat each other many times, so that was a great rivalry.
It's a great rivalry, and there's awesome photos of the two of you guys on the track together from way back in the day. Why was, I guess, like, this is one thing everyone always talks about with running. We want, like, to make it interesting, we need more, you know, trash talk between the two. Why? You guys are too nice to each other.
You know, me and Neb, we're friends, to be honest. We used to go out to dinner before a big race, before the U.S. Championship. We go out to dinner, and we come back. To be honest, don't let Neb smile fool you, man. That guy is the biggest competitor you will ever meet when the game goes off, man. He would just, man, it's just like, but at the same time, I was the same way. We always want to beat each other. I knew how good he was. He knew how good I was. I knew his weakness. He knew my weakness. You know, it was just like, the day I beat Neb was a good day. The day he beat me was a good day. You know, we have a good rivalry. But at the same time, we talk about it too at dinner the next day, and we just laugh about it. That was great. And we always roommates too. Whenever we go to big national championship or world championship, cross country or Olympics, we were, the first Olympics, Meb was my roommate.
Give me a funny roommate story. There has to have been something. Did he snore?
Oh, Meb is the funniest guy ever. Meb's hilarious. Meb is a comedy guy. Just like, he will say the funniest thing ever. Just, I just don't remember.
Yeah. I've seen Meb, and I've hung out with him in San Antonio and stuff like that. And he's, and this is a friend of mine, I can tell you the same story. He's always hungry. He would snack all the time. How much snacks have in your at the Olympics room?
Oh, man, we have a lot. He always eating, man. He always have something in his stack bag, some granola, something. He's always eating, man. It's just like, and his particular what he eats, everything is balanced, to be honest. Like, this, like, everything. It looks like something, look like... And when he eats, he's like a little piece of chicken, and then it's just like, it's just, sometimes the food is too fast to be eaten, too. Like.
All right, so the biggest race that you mentioned, you know, it's always cool when Meb beats you, when you beat him. 2014 Boston Marathon. It's a really cool behind-the-scenes story because you had pretty much a front-row seat to seeing how he was reading all these other people and their bodies. What kind of communication went down in the race? There's a great story that's on Let's Run about, you know, the inside story of how Ryan Hall and you, like, helped make, you know, a push for Meb. What stood out to you, I guess, about watching the way Meb was reading everybody else, what you guys were talking about in the race? Because, you know, people don't usually talk when they're going that fast.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I don't know if we – well, first and foremost, I want to keep this – I want to clear this one. When Meb went, he went like no one was going to go with him because every other big athlete who was running the race was there. And that's the reason I didn't go with him. It's not because I was holding back. It's not because I was holding back on anything. Like, it just, that's, when Meb went, he went to, like, only the guy who went with him was, what's his name, JP? Joseph Fields, he went with him for I don't know how long. But I remember we get to the certain point of the race, and I realized that I knew with Mev wasn't going to come back. I knew with that. And Ryan was right next to me, and I just I was trying to make a move, and then Ryan told me, don't try to drag these people to Mev. Let them go. Let them, don't be their pacemaker. He said, let them like do the work if they want to do the work. I said, let them go, get them. If they want to go, get them. Otherwise, just let's run the same pace, you know. And I just look at Ryan, and I wasn't even thinking. But, you know, just sometimes when you're running a marathon, like, your head is not all there, you know. You just, you focus on the race, and if someone's talking to you, you might listen, you might not listen. Somehow, I end up listening to him. I don't know why. But I went back to the pace, and I just banged the pace, and I just started running. And after, I remember 16, 17 miles. I don't know what happened beyond that because people started making moves, but Mev already had, like, I don't know how many meters or, like, a half a mile, 400-meter lead. But Ryan just told me, don't be a pacemaker. That's what he told me, and I try not to be.
When you crossed the finish line, how did they tell you? Like, how did you find out that Mev won? And did you believe it at first?
You know, I believe it. I never put past anything Mev, to be honest. Like, even in New York, I know a lot of people just, he's 42 years old. I won't be surprised if he finished third, if he finished top five, if he wins. You know, that's what athletes do. And I don't know what kind of shape he is, but at the same time, I won't put past anything. And when I heard he won Boston Marathon, I said, congratulations, that's a great effort, you know. And what's more, I wasn't surprised with the win, but I'm surprised how he ran by himself 208. I was surprised more about the time than the win itself.
Let's do a couple fun questions here. So I asked you about this back when I was in Flagstaff, just very briefly, because we were doing this thing on Twitter, and all of a sudden everyone started doing it across the country. This summer, people were running in blue jeans in a mile, trying to see what the fastest mile they could run in blue jeans was. So we put out a challenge. First person to break 4 minutes for the mile in a pair of blue jeans, we would give them $1,200. You know, that's more than some people make at some races. We'd give them $1,200 if they broke 4 minutes for the mile in jeans that were 100% denim. You were very popular for you know, you had your own jeans for a bit. I don't know if you still do, but
yeah.
What are your thoughts on, can someone break 4 minutes for the mile? The world record, the fastest we saw, was a kid from BYU. He ran 4:16 at altitude. So what are your thoughts? Do you think someday it would be possible to run 4 minutes for the mile in a pair of blue jeans?
I think it's definitely possible, but it depends. Like, you have to be specific, though. What cut of jeans?
So we gave him 2 inches above the ankle. That's the most you can roll up your jeans. 2 inches.
Okay.
We had rules.
Rolling even the cut, though, like a skinny cut, like a slim fit, or just like a loose fit. It's just, you
it
know,
can be
you
whichever.
Gotta...
So the guys who run, so the two guys ran 4:16, and they both ran with, I think it was like a big, it was a bigger cut at the bottom for sure. So it was a little baggier.
Okay. I think it's doable. The right person, if you put the right person with the right jeans, and the right cut, I think is doable, yeah.
What's the fastest you think you could do in blue jeans? Because you still haven't broken four straight.
maybe I can do four, under 420.
Under 420? That's pretty fair. People want to know, so we got a couple on Twitter. Someone wants to know the Black Cactus nickname. You know, how'd you get it? Because the story's been out there, but in short,
yeah,
why don't
you
remind people?
Black Cactus came from my neighbor. I just needed a nickname. Well, I think it was before the Chicago Marathon in 2006. And my neighbor said, why don't you call yourself the Black Saguaro? And I said, Black Saguaro. And I replied to him, how about the Black Cactus? And he said, Black Cactus sounds good. And I remember just we started, me and Ryan Shea and Phil Worston, just have a little press conference, one of the first flow track videos. We did the Black Cactus Strikes Again from Blackstar.
This is another question that just popped into my head. So Breaking 2, you were able to watch it, I guess, from
yes,
a live stream. I guess, like, what were your thoughts on, I guess, you've raced Elliott before. How much of a freak is he?
I know Eliud Kipchoge real well, and you know he's an amazing athlete, and I knew he was amazing athlete. But that day, my respect just went to the roof. So I have no idea what to call him, freak, or just I don't know. I have no idea. I need to come up with a name for him. But that was amazing. You know, just something out of this world, and just. And also, that's something else that motivates me to keep going, because I know Eliud Kipchoge really well, and the way he's running and what he's doing and what he's capable of doing, why should I put myself limit? And that's why I believe I can do well in New York City Marathon, because of Kipchoge, what he has done and what he's accomplished, and I run against him. You know, just he's an inspiration to all of us, to be honest, like, for what he has done. He gave me another life of athletic, just, yeah.
Have you ever done a workout with him?
No, I haven't done a workout with him, but I have run with him a couple of times in Europe, yeah.
Because he just seems like the most peaceful guy. Like, anything he says in that documentary that they did with him, every single line could be, you know, a quote that you put on a T-shirt. It could be a tattoo that you read on someone's back. It just seems like the guy operates...
Yeah.
At peace.
Yeah, I definitely like it. You know, Kipchoge is different. It's just, it's a, you know, like, especially when it comes to speaking and saying things to other people, the thing that he says, look, sometimes it sounds like it's not even real the way he says it, because you think he took his words and then just put it together and then think about it. But that's just the way he is, to be honest, as a person. Even if you have a normal conversation, you will ask him something, the way he answers to you is just something that inspiring and moves other people to, and just say, wow, I can't believe they say that to me. You know, that's just the way he talks since I've known him for like over 20 plus years.
Bernard Lagat, famous for having golf outside of track. You know, he loves his golf. What do you love to do outside of track?
What I love to do outside of track, I love hanging out with my friends, to be honest. That's the most important thing to me, just like hanging out with my friends. I like barbecuing. I like cooking, actually. That's my favorite thing to do. Just I like making stews, beef stew, goat stew, lamb stew, and also hanging out with my friends. I try to become a golfer like Bernard, but I just get bored. And just Bernard, he's the next Tiger Woods, though. But he's all right golfer, though. He's okay. He have his bad days and good days. So.
Back in April, Runner's World did the story on the fastest couple at the Boston Marathon, you and Diane. The part that stood out to me was that initially you said that she rejected you, and you just kept trying and trying and trying for a year. What tips do you have for a single guy like me about, you know, pursuing the one that you think is right?
You know, just don't give up, man. Even if she rejects you, man, you know, there's a rejection that's genuine, and there's a rejection that you just feel it, you have no chance on this girl. Just like, you know, it is. You know, I knew her rejection was, you know, it wasn't the worst. You know, just the way when she rejected me, it wasn't the worst thing that was rejection that I ever heard. And I said, I heard worse than before. At least she's nice. At least she's nice. You could have seen something worse. So I said, maybe she have little feelings. Maybe, you know, you can. And they just keep trying. It's just in life, you know. If you like if you really, really care that person and you like it, you know, just keep trying and just never give up until you feel like you give it a 110% and it didn't work out. And that's at least you can walk away with open mind and, you know, just without hard feeling. At least you try and it didn't work out.
Give me a prediction for your Steelers. You're a big fan. 6-2 so far this season.
Steelers 6-2. And, you know, by the way, it's a bye weekend next weekend, so Steelers are staying home to watch the New York City Marathon. They think I'm going to win, so that's why they get the bye week, by the way. And, yeah. And, you know, Steelers, I think, you know, six playoffs, that's the one thing I can guarantee you, playoffs, but the Super Bowl, That's why they have the playoffs. So I'm not going to predict any Super Bowl, but I'm predicting playoffs. So, and then after the playoffs, you can ask me again what I think about the Super Bowl.
Do you think you could beat Juju Smith-Schuster down the field for like if you guys both started at in the end zone all the way down the field to the other end zone? Could you beat him?
Oh, man, he was smoking him. He was smoking Juju Smith, man. That 20-year-old guy, man. I can't be his daddy. He'll probably kick my ass, man. But I'll definitely race him 800 meters, though. It would be a good race.
Yeah. If enough people tweet this out, maybe we could get the Steelers to set it up. We could do, like, you know, four-time Olympian challenges Juju Smith-Schuster to a, you know, 100-yard dash.
Not 100-yard dash, man. You probably smug. Well, I look so bad, man. I want something interesting. If it's going to happen, it has to be something interesting, something input, like 600 or 800 meters.
800 meters. So the big thing, we started it. Yeah. You know, we did it on Twitter again. It was the big thing. LeBron versus Malcolm Gladwell, you know, famous writer. He's 54 years old, but he's run like he's run 4:57 for the mile. The big debate was, what could LeBron James run for the mile? You said Juju and you would be competitive, you know, 800 meters. What do you think is like a competitive distance to test LeBron for the mile? Like, what do you think he would run for the mile?
I don't know. LeBron, if LeBron runs 5:30, I don't think LeBron can run 5:30, though.
Really?
No, I don't think.
Dude,
no,
I can run 5:30. I ran 5:25.
Okay, five. Okay, Chris, come on now. Look how big you are. Look how LeBron is.
Yeah, but if you think about it, you know, LeBron is one of the most talented athletes in the world. And there's high school kids who can run sub-5 easily. Mediocre high school kids can run sub-5.
Okay, but, you know, running is different, Chris. That's one thing you're missing. Running is different. LeBron is the most talented athlete in the world. We know that. Jumping, okay, dunking, like, you know, like running like a 50-meter, 10-meter. Look how big the basketball court is. LeBron can take 4 or 5 steps. But the 4 laps are on the track. You telling me if he breaks 5:30, I would be so surprised. I will give LeBron 6:550.
Because the way what happened was the Vegas odds were set, and they said that the Malcolm Gladwell, the older guy, could beat him. And we put out a poll from Sports Illustrated. 20,000 people voted, and it was 51% for Gladwell, 49% for LeBron. I think it's too close to not have this race someday. If it's for charity or whatever, I think we someday have to find out what LeBron James can run for the mile. But I'm surprised.
I can tell you. I have seen it. I have friends. I have friends who play basketball and almost the same build with LeBron. And there's no close. They will run 5:30.
Man, there's guys at UNC, they do it every year on the basketball team who run, you know, they run a mile just to see how fast they are. And their times, I think this year was something like low fives. So I just don't know. It's
low
like,
low five. The guy who runs the low, he's not a power forward. It must be center or shooting guard. He's just like.
Let me look it up. I'll tell you right
or
now.
Point guard. Yeah.
So it was won by Luke May. No, Luke May won last year in 5:06. And Luke May is there. He's a big guy. I think he's a forward.
Yeah. But how? Is he 240?
I'll tell you 1 second. Luke May is 6'8", 240.
And he ran 5:06?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Okay.
So I think sub-5 is possible.
No, not sub-5.
Well, we can go on and on about this, Abdi.
I know, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know, man. You just never know exactly, but I have no idea. But just for me, it's just, I can always feel, if I see someone's body, I can always tell what they're capable of running or like, if they train for it, you know, just they don't have to go out. But LeBron, just looking at him on the way he walks and he feels just like, yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to the last two questions we asked all our guests. All right. So first one, if you go – actually, there's three questions now. What's – number one, what's the worst or meanest thing that you've read about yourself on Let's Run?
Worst and meanest thing about that I was like one of my friends, the meanest thing that broke my heart and always and it bothers me is was like when the people wrote about the doping stuff and the Martin Fagan, and one day Martin Fagan stayed in my house and they caught him, they busted him, and they said, oh, if Martin Fagan was doping, Abdi must be doping too.
Yeah,
that's the meanest thing. And yeah.
Yeah, that can get out of hand. They're quick to point fingers on those message boards, but they're
definitely
not always right. Next question.
Yeah, I don't know that, but it bothered me though, so that's the one thing. So.
Definitely. Next one, if you could go on a run anywhere in the world with anybody from history, it could be an actor, it could be, you know, another athlete, who would it be and where would the run take place?
Yeah, I wanted to run with Bill Clinton, and it almost happened, but somehow something came up, so he didn't show up. So still have to. I think it will be Bill Clinton, and I will run with him in. I will take him in urban. I will take him in Ethiopia at Saluta.
It's a good answer. I need to get out to Ethiopia at some point. It's just like it's one of those runner's dreams.
You should come. Yep, you should come there, and then I'll take you. We'll be there this year, so you should come.
Definitely. And the last question, it's another basketball one, but this one's about you. So basketball, you get 25 shots from half court, okay? If you make one, you win $25 million. If you make none, you go to jail for 25 years. Would you try and take the shots?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I will.
You think you can make one in 25?
Oh, yeah. I will just – the first two would be warm up, and after that, I'll just start banging it, man.
That's confidence, man. I like it. That's some good confidence to have before the New York City Marathon.
Well.
All right, Abdi. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for taking the time to do this. I'll see you this week. I'll be at the press conferences and everything, and I'll catch you around. Maybe we'll keep going with this LeBron debate.
No problem.
I'll bring some notes and everything.
Yeah, Chris, well, have a great day, and please stay safe, man. You'll take care, and we'll see you in a few days.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Abdi, take care.
Okay, bye.
That does it for this episode of the City of Smack podcast. Tomorrow, I will be posting the interview that I did with Shalane Flanagan about 2 weeks ago for a story that I did on SI.com. There was a lot of interesting nuggets that I think were left out of the final story, but I would like for you guys to listen to it. She goes in depth about her training and her goals, what's left for her career. She says this could be it for her. I'm not inclined to believe it. I think when the time does come, I think she does retire in Boston, but we shall see on Sunday. Also, November 3rd, if you're listening to this beforehand and you are in New York City, we will be doing a live podcast taping at the New York Roadrunner Center. The details are in the description for this episode, and you can find them on cityofsmag.com. It'll be me and Kit Fox previewing the New York City Marathon Elite Field. And I think that does it for this week's episodes of the City of Smag podcast. I've got a race to run on Sunday, so I can't stress myself out too much. We will catch up with the two NAZ Elite women maybe sometime this week, or I will post something next week. So stay tuned, subscribe on iTunes, leave a 5-star review. You can find us on Stitcher. You can leave a review and subscribe on there too. So this has been your host, Chris Chavez, wishing you happy and healthy running.